When you think about intentional living, it's not just about us. It is certainly about us, but it's also about those that we love, like maybe our spouse. And the more intentional we are in our marriage, the better marriage we're going to have, the more satisfied, the more comfort, more intimacy, more closeness. And when two people choose to be intentional in their marriage, well, that marriage thrives. It's huge. And so today, while it's going to be a marriage program, sort of open phones, as we hear stories of people from around the country, I'm really asking the question, are you unintentional about your marriage? Or are you really choosing to honor Christ in your marriage? And what one thing are you doing to do that? As we talk about marriage, you know, when intentional living began, we realized that probably the number one thing we're intentional about is our relationships, starting in our marriage and our family and our home. And so a program today is going to be a lot of encouragement. If you know someone who's struggling in their marriage, invite them to join us. Of course, tell them about the podcast of Intentional Living as well. All right, let's jump right in. We got Hillary from Michigan joining us. Hillary, welcome to the program. How can I help you today?
I've been married 5 years now, and my husband and I have had our ups and downs. And lately we've been, you know, we're not down. It's just I'm starting to find I'm so frustrated with our lack of communication. If I try to bring something up, to talk about something, you know, and you know, it's something we disagree on, he prefers just let's just not talk about it. And I try my best, you know, like, let's just, you know, compromise. Let's have a civil conversation and work this out. And his answer is I'm nagging and I'm complaining and he just wants to let it go. And I have such a hard time with this, and, you know, and then he gets kind of frustrated with me, and so he gets very snippy and kind of belittling. And I'm trying my best to come up with better solutions. You know, and I've looked into marriage counseling, but I don't think he'd do it because he looks at, like, counseling. We don't need counseling. Really, we just need to learn to communicate, and he's just not willing to try. I don't know. I just thought maybe if he had an idea, maybe some advice, you know, that seems fair. Only real problem that we can't seem to work through is he wants to ignore everything, and I want to talk it out and figure out a solution.
Yeah, well, listen, Hillary, it sounds like you're a communicator, and you're a problem solver. And you want to get the cards on the table and get it out, and let's get it resolved, and let's come up with some solutions, and let's get it done. And that guy you're married to, maybe not so much. And I think there's a lot of men listening who are feeling a little bit of frustration as you're talking. That's what they experience in terms of they avoid sometimes getting into communication in marriage, either because they feel outsmarted or outdone in communication. Now, come on, guys. Sometimes that you may be thinking, I can't keep up with the stress related to the issues and being able to think it through, and you're tired and you're working and you're doing things. And come on, I know guys tell me this many times, Hillary, that they feel like it's just never enough. There's another decision, another problem, another whatever that's got to be worked on. And so communication is the key. There's no question about it. And so I guess the question is, there's a whole program. Why do men avoid communicating? Why is it, you know, I've been doing this for like a lifetime, and it always comes back to this. It's typically the men, sometimes women, but most, I don't get very many guys that say my wife won't talk to me about stuff. Sometimes, but mostly it's why do men avoid communication? Well, I think part of it, men are not as good at it when it comes to some of the emotional issues, some of the decisions that need to be made that involve emotionality and so on. And so what do I say, Hillary, to you, and I think to all couples? And the best way to communicate is to start with the end in mind. What at the end of this process that you're going through, if you're trying to raise your kids and you're right in the middle of it, let's say, or you're trying to make a decision about money and you're right in the middle of it, or about in-laws and you're right in the middle of it, to rise above it a little bit and start with the bigger picture. What kind of financial situation do we want to have? What kind of kids do we want to raise? And I think if we can all see in marriage the goal, the outcome, the result that we're shooting for, then we can back it in to talk about, okay, what do we need to do today? Solution-focused marriage counseling is a big deal. In other words, we're going to focus on how do we solve problems, not just what the problem is, but how do we solve it? And sometimes it's helpful. I mean, we do this in business, don't we? Come on. When a person brings a problem to me as a leader, I like solutions. Rob is very good at this. There's issues. He never comes and says, Randy, here's four problems, and then walks out of the room. Now, tell me what I need to do. He'll come and say, hey, here's an issue, or here's a problem, or something that's not working. and I got an idea for it, or here's a solution for it, or here's two things we can do. And I think in marriage, no matter if it's a man to the wife or the wife to the husband, to be able to come and say, hey, I see an issue and here's some things I've been thinking about. Can we get them on the table and talk about some solutions? Does that always work? No. Communication is an art. It's something that needs to be worked on, needs to be a priority. Okay, I hope that helps, Hillary. Thank you for taking time to call. We're talking marriage. Maybe you have a different take on that. You're welcome to come and join us. Let's move on here. We got Ashley on the line from Arizona. Welcome to the program.
Hi. My husband and I have been married for 16 years, and we generally are on the same page about everything. We pray together. We argue like married couples do at times, but we find that even though he is just wonderful to me and I try to do the best I can to be a good wife to him, when we neglect the physical aspects of our marriage that God has ordained as being between a man and a wife, we find that there is a distance between us. So when we can reconnect physically, then all of our devotions to God and all of those things that we do each and every day in our work become just so much more of a blessing to our marriage, and we are just so much closer together.
Mm. That's a great comment, Ashley, and that's a touch point for a lot of people listening that creates real tension in marriage. And by the way, Ashley's referring to the scripture, I think, in 1 Corinthians 7, where the Apostle Paul says very, very plainly, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. And then goes on to say the wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband, in the same way the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Don't deprive each other, except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer. Now, that'll preach. You heard that one? Hadn't heard that on a Sunday morning in a while. It's an important thing, but you know what? Why is it that sex is such a big issue, or lack thereof, in marriage? We have fatigue, differences between men and women in terms of viewing sexual relationship. It's an emotional as well as a physical connection, spiritual, really being connected with each other. And I would just say, listen, because this is such a big issue, I think traditionally, I don't know with the younger generation quite so much, but I think traditionally it's been the expectation that the man would take the lead, be the romancer, and so on in the marriage. And I would just simply offer a suggestion to women, as you take the lead, this is important as well, as you take the lead, not only your husband will be surprised, pleasantly therefore, surprised, but I think also it changing it up, it's the routine of the physical relationship and marriage after, what, 16 years, you said, Ashley, you know, it could become routine. You got kids, you're raising kids, you got responsibility with finances and work and family and aging and all of those things. Being creative, finding time for each other, big part of it.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. I don't think that means standing on the corner beating people over the head. But you know what? People look at us. They've got to say, these people are different or weird. You ever anybody say, why do you do that? Why do you live that way? Why do you make those decisions? I think one of the concerns we all have today, or I have when I look at our Christian community, we're so much a part of our culture, I wonder if people even see any difference in us at times. How we live, how we choose to live and respond. And yet Peter is saying, always have a defense for why you believe what you believe. And I wrote down here, And I think this is a really powerful thing. And I say this to our members as well and to our team. And when you're on the radio talking to people, be ready to have a defense. We need to know to tell our story. What's our story? Be ready with a defense. Be ready with the story. You know, that's an excerpt from the teaching this month, a two-part series on experiencing hope. You know, we think about hope, and there's so much spoken of in Scripture about hope and the power of hope. And in fact, I could open the phone lines as we have in the past and have people tell us what makes them feel hopeful when they turn to Scripture, what verse, and there's so many powerful verses. But I did a different kind of study. I went into the Bible and I started to study what are the verses that tell us how to experience hope. Not just about hope, because we know it's a limitless supply. Jesus' hope, it says in Scripture. His hope, it's there, it's eternal, it's everlasting. But the question is, how come so few of us really experience it to its full extent? And so as I looked in Scripture, I found six verses that really give us sort of a way to experience hope, steps that we can take to experience hope. And that's the second part of that lesson this month. And so members, you watch for it. It comes to you automatically right about this time in the month. I hope you're enjoying it, both video and audio. And for those who are joining us today to be a part of this intentional living journey, we'll make sure you receive it as well. Your monthly support, whatever the amount is, will make a huge difference. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. When you get the phone answered there, press number 2, and it will take you to our staff. And I just want to say welcome to the family and thank you for your support.
I was the one that was saying, you know, God, please change my husband. Please help my husband do this. And it wasn't happening. We both came from really bad backgrounds. So, of course, I prayed and came to the conclusion I need to stop bargaining with God and saying, well, if you help my husband do this, then I'll be nicer or more committed or, you know, and then saying, help me be more peaceable and to win him over without a word, like the scripture you're talking about in Corinthians. So it really has made a huge difference.
Hey, listen, this opportunity that we have together to focus on the message of intentional living in Christ is transformational. I'll tell you something that I have seen and I believe, and it's something for each of us. We all have questions, we have issues, we have problems, but when we live intentionally at the level of actually making a declaration of our intention, in other words, we really stand up and say, I right now declare my intention for my marriage starting today for the next 30 days, and then you fill in the blank. I'm not going to criticize my spouse. For the next 30 days, you make a declaration of intention that says, for the next 30 days, I choose to pray for my spouse every day. A declaration of intention maybe to say, for the next 30 days, I choose to help without being asked. It's when we declare something, there's something that happens inside of us emotionally and spiritually when we make a declaration. You know what I'd love to hear? I would love to hear you guys, come on now, be willing to share a declaration to the whole country with the whole community of intentional living listeners today to say, I declare for the next 30 days, this is what I declare for my marriage. I'd love to hear that. I mean, maybe you want to even get through to me here or afterward on our comment line, and we start sharing some of those declarations where you declare your intention for 30 days. It's for you. I mean, it's transformational. This is what we do at our conferences. What did I say? Like 35,000 people have stood in my conferences in the last few years and have made a declaration quietly before God saying, this is what I declare for my family, for my marriage, for my faith. There's something that happens when we make that kind of declaration. Maybe you want to slip in even today and say, hey, I've been listening, talking about marriage. Here's what I declare. Here's my intention for the next 30 days for my marriage. I'll get you on. If you get through, you put them on because I want to hear those, okay? If you have a question, comment as well, come on and join us. We're talking marriage today. 888-888-1717 is the number. Go to Maria here on line one. Hi, Maria. Welcome to the program today.
Hi, Dr. Randy.
All right. How can I help today? What's your question or comment?
Well, my husband and I have been married for 15 years, and about 3 years ago, he had an affair. And he just brought it to my attention about a year ago, And I'm just thinking, I don't know if I'm forgiving him the way that I'm supposed to forgive him. I'm still hurt, still mad. You know, some days are harder than others, but I truly want to forgive him. I want our marriage to last. I want to spend the rest of my life with him, but I just feel like I don't know if I can let go.
Yeah, so this was out of the blue all of a sudden, kind of he shares with you, hey, I've been having this affair.
Yeah, well, the affair was over by the time he had told me. It was 2 years past.
Did he ever share with you why he came and told you?
He said he had wanted to tell me for a long time, but he just didn't. There was never the right time, like right opportunity.
So he was sharing. He was carrying a lot of guilt.
Yeah.
And as he was carrying this guilt, it was an opportunity. Did he feel like, hey, he needed to confess his sin to you as he had to God, and so he could move on?
Yeah.
All right. Did you and has he kind of moved on?
Yeah, and he's the type of person that's easy to just move on with anything.
Yeah, so he shares it, moves on, and you're kind of stuck holding the bag, as it were, emotionally?
Yeah.
Have you gone to counseling?
Oh, yeah, we went to a few sessions counseling. Him and I used to be marriage counselors within our church. We had a home Bible study that we were leaders of. So kind of know like what to say, kind of, per se, but actually implementing it, I think, is...
Well, we're talking about, it seems like we're talking about a deeper level. I mean, do you have questions? Or do you feel like you've resolved some of the issues in your mind of how did this happen? How did we get here? What's different now? Or has it been sort of just moving on?
It's just been kind of moving on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you've done some counseling, lay counseling, it sounds like. Why don't you and your spouse get with a counselor and or you yourself and try to, you know, get to the bottom of what led to this and where are we going to go and what's got to be different and get through a process. Because if I hear you right, Marie, what I hear in your heart is your husband came, confessed his sin to you, asked for your forgiveness, and kind of he's moved on. So he's down the road a mile emotionally on this thing, and you're still back here in the cul-de-sac going around circles.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Does he understand that, or do you talk about it at all?
Yeah, I think I'm a talker, and he's not. I think I talk enough for both of us and a few others. But
is he tired of talking about it?
I believe, yeah.
Is it kind of like, oh, can you see his eyes rolling like we've been here and done that? Let's get on.
Yeah, but the thing is that I feel like my questions haven't been answered, really. I mean, I know there's certain questions that probably never will be answered, and that's, you know, comes with the territory, I guess. But
yeah, and like, frankly, some questions better not to get answered because that raises other questions. There's a point where, obviously, forgiveness is a decision in our own heart to choose to forgive a person. Accountability needs to be in place. But I'll tell you what, Maria, your experience is not uncommon. This is a very difficult thing to get beyond. It just frankly is. And I've seen this over the years where a person will confess what they have done or as a result of, quote, getting caught in what they've done, it comes to a head. And that person is able to kind of dump their stuff there and move on. But then everybody else has to pick up the pieces. And it creates a problem. That's why a lot of marriages, frankly, and unfortunately, can't get past an affair. It's a big deal. Yeah. I would encourage you, Maria, I think a couple of things to be intentional, because we're talking about a declaration. I hope your husband's listening. If he is, I would encourage him to continue to be as understanding and work in the process of really helping as you need help to get through this process. As a Christian woman, I hear you wanting to make this marriage work. If I hear you right, it sounds like you, as far as he is, he's committed to the marriage, he's committed to moving forward, and you're...
Yeah.
This has stopped?
I'm sorry?
Involvement outside the marriage has stopped on his part?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He lives in another state now, so.
So you're committed to the marriage. I would encourage the two of you to get into some counseling together, and if not, you yourself. I think you have to get someone to help you walk through this process. Because you know what? I've seen over the years, Maria, some people, you know, will stuff the emotions as a result of this kind of thing, and it'll pop up 10 years later. Others get stuck in the process. And you said this was what? It's been a year?
A year since he told me.
Uh-huh. Do you feel like you're better today than you were 6 months ago? Stronger today?
No.
You kind of stuck back where you were, huh?
Yeah.
Are you committed to making the marriage work?
I am. I don't think that it's fair for me to have to change my plans because of something he did, you know? I plan to spend the rest of my life with him, so why do I have to change my plans?
Mm-hmm. Are you pretty angry?
Yeah.
Is that hard for you to express that?
That I'm angry?
Yeah, with him? About what happened and so on?
Sometimes.
What do you think would help?
I don't know, maybe if he has showed more that he is sorry.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been a very, emotional person. He's never really shown, emotion or feeling very, you know, outwardly and very openly, so.
So you haven't seen as much of the repentance as you would like to see?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I don't.
Oop, I'm sorry, Maria. Go ahead. I pushed the wrong button. What were you going to say?
Oh, I said I don't want him to, walk through the streets beating himself with a stick or something, but, you know, just a little more, just more intentional with me on a personal level.
Yeah. Well, you want to connect at the heart level.
Yeah.
Well, Maria, I'd like to pray with you if I can. I would encourage you to. Can you share this with your husband? Have you talked to him like you're talking to me?
I have. Here and there. I've tried to.
Uh-huh. And it's kind of just what happens.
Sometimes he gets upset and doesn't want to talk about it. And sometimes he'll listen and he'll hold me and tell me sorry. So.
Mm-hmm. So he's probably really struggling too to try to figure out how to make things better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the type you just, you know, fuck up and move on and dust off your feet.
Well, this is a process, and I've watched over the years, Maria, it's been a year. This can take time. For some people, it can be a very extensive time. It can take, frankly, I don't want to be discouraging, but it can take years for people to get through a process to really get back to a healthier place and have a stronger marriage. And sometimes that's a very difficult process to ever get back to. But I do know this, it's worth it if we can commit to making the marriage work. To commit to talk about what the process has and accountability and go through that process. What are the steps? But for you, Maria, if it'd be okay, I'd like to pray with you and ask that God would give you, because God's got, you know, right now he's continuing to work in your heart, and forgiveness is a very difficult thing. This is kind of like when I think about Humpty Dumpty, that little rhyme that we give to kids, you know, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall and he had a fall, a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I think after an affair, and I say to every person listening, if you're on the verge of this happening in your marriage, there is a price to be paid. And God is healing. God will restore, and he can restore, Maria. But I think sometimes it's difficult for some of us, because of who we are, to live with the fact that there's been a brokenness in a relationship that's so important. Like you said, you had all my plans. Now my plans have all been changed. You had expectations, and those expectations aren't being met.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to let God and through this Holy Spirit do a work in your life and a healing in your life. And I would encourage your husband, if he's listening, that when Maria comes to you and wants to talk, you listen. You listen. You listen carefully and quietly, and you pray for her. And I recommend to anyone going through trying to restore a brokenness in a relationship, a lot of patience, a lot of attention and accountability. But this is a God thing. And those marriages that get through an affair and are able to withstand the force of an affair, it's because of God's love and the Holy Spirit moving through the lives of people involved. And that would be my prayer for you. Can I send you a book? We have a book called Starve for Affection, which is a very positive book. It gives very positive things to do to build affection and love and commitment and communication of marriage. I'd like to send it to you.
Yeah,
would that be okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I pray with you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Father, I wish we could just have a quick answer to a deep problem. You are the ultimate restorer of brokenness. When we think of the brokenness between us and you sent your son to die for us that we can have a restored relationship, it's a picture. And Lord, I pray for Maria, who I hear in her heart wants to forgive, feel stuck in the process, that that she'll reach that point to be able to truly forgive, and her husband will be truly a part of the process of helping make that possible, that these two can have a marriage down the road to look back on to say, wow, never want to go there again. But thanks to God's intentional love for us, we came through that season, and we are more intentional in our love for each other and for our family than we ever were. And that's what we ask for in Jesus' name. Amen. Maria, hold on. I'm going to get your address, and we're going to send you that book, and we're going to pray for you as well, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right.
The Bible is full of ways believers in Christ can experience hope. In part two of Dr. Randy's teaching, How to Experience Hope, he continues to go through the Bible and reveals six verses that show us how to experience hope from a biblical perspective. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you a blog, along with a video or audio of this teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. To receive this month's special offer, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, thanks, Kurt, for that reminder about joining in support of the ministry. And I just want to say thanks to those of you who have called in the last week or have gone online in the last 7 days and have indicated you want to be a part of the family. Welcome. Glad to have you be a part of Intentional Living. If you'd like to know more about what the ministry is all about, Intentional Living, part of Family Life Radio, just go to theintentionallife.com. And when you click on the donate page, it'll take you there. Lots of information, a lot of other helpful resources there as well. I hope you found some encouragement today and some practical one things that you can do. I want to remind you that we leave our comment line open always for people to join with questions and comments. All you have to do is call that 888-888-1717 number, and we certainly would love to hear from you. I'm Dr. Randy. For Stephen and the rest of the team here, God bless you, and we'll see you again with more Intentional Living.